Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of A Waste of Time with It's the Real. This episode is sponsored by CISO. All the best comedy in one place. Don't believe it? CISO for yourself now. Go to CISO.com and stream for free today. No credit card needed.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Another great week for your boys, It's the Real.
Yes, it is an unbroken streak. Always a great week.
We started off talking with Rocky Fresh on the podcast. It was a great time talking MMG. We discussed Diddy. He had some great R. Kelly stories.
Yeah, but he's very wrong in that he thinks that sneezing is better than coughing. I obviously disagree.
You know what? You sound like your team crying right now.
Well, you want to know what? I think that you are team sneezing, apparently, and I don't know how I feel about working with somebody who is so on the wrong side of history.
I think that sneezing is an acceptable thing, especially in public. Coughing is a sign that you're sick.
They're both signs that you're sick.
No, sneezing is a natural everyday occurrence.
No, it's not like sneezing just happens out of nowhere. Sneezing is messy, it is gross. I'm gonna uplift team coughing. I'm coming from behind. I support the underdog.
Fascinating, Jeff. We went to the Newark Collegiate Academy this week. I want to shout out our friend Harold Brown for inviting us. This is the third year that we've been invited to talk to high school freshmen.
Well, yes, they are only high school freshmen for the first year, but this is our third year speaking to freshmen.
When we go in there, first thing we say is, what do you think that we do for a living? Because it just says Eric and Jeff Rosenthal. It doesn't say comedians or rappers or anything like that. And what's the answer that kids have?
Construction.
Construction workers. It's fascinating. Like, they look at us and they're like, you know, you guys, hard hats, I-beams. Shouts to Taekwon, one of the great young men that we met at the Newark Collegiate Academy. He was like, how do I get in your podcast?
Practice.
And we said that we would shout him out. So shouts to Taekwon, shouts to Harold Brown. We look forward to coming back next year and seeing how everyone has progressed. Also, we want to shout out Skizzy Mars.
Yes, an Atlantic artist. He's sort of like, what is he like? He's like a Kid Cudi type.
Sure. We didn't know much about his music. We saw him live at SOBs the other night, and it was really impressive.
Yes, his album Alone Together is number one on iTunes.
In the rap charts, number three overall.
Yeah.
But we went there, and here's my thing. The crowd, which was sold out, was way into it, and way into it in a way that I haven't seen in a while. Like, no one there was jaded. When he said, throw your hands up, they threw their hands up. When he put the microphone out for people to yell lyrics, they all knew the words. It's been a while since I've seen that. When was the last time that you threw your hands up?
1987.
We want to send our best wishes to Lior Cohen, who is currently in the hospital after suffering from a pulmonary embolism. It's a blood clot that moves through the system. It's very serious.
Yeah, so shout out to his entire family. Shout out to Oz. Shout out to Lior. And, get well soon.
Hoping for a very quick and easy recovery. Jeff, before we get into this podcast, we should say this is not the first time that we've ever recorded into GarageBand.
No, even though it seems like it, we actually have 48 episodes that we've done now.
Something like that. The number keeps going up.
Yeah, every week we have a new episode. It's crazy. You can catch up on old episodes on soundcloud.com/awasteoftime or on iTunes if you search for A Waste of Time with It's the Real. We are also on Instagram and Twitter at It's the Real. Come find us. Come tell us how we are doing a pretty good job.
This week, we talk with our friend, Sypha Sounds. You know him from Hot 97. You know him from MTV. You should know him from his new title series, No Small Talk, which is comedy-based. It's at the Comedy Cellar downtown. He has a lot of really funny people over there. Sypha, as you will hear today, is a really funny guy with a lot of stories.
Yes, we were very excited to have him on to complete our Juan Epstein bingo card.
And now, A Waste of Time with Sypha Sounds. Jeff, this episode is nothing to sneeze at.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, aka Mass Layoffs, aka More Fire, More Fire, More Fire.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, aka Arms on Extendos, aka Steve Harvey Suits.
Ooh, yo,
can
I do that?
Yeah.
This is Sypha Sounds. I didn't know I had to be prepared with a thing. this is the ex G.I. Joe collector.
Yeah, and this is a waste of time. It's the Real. Sypha, what up?
What's up, guys?
What's happening?
Nothing, man. Well, sorry.
Yeah.
Lots is happening.
Business
is booming.
That's right.
I hate when I say nothing when there's tons of shit happening.
Yeah, there's
first
so
and
much
foremost,
going on.
The reason why I'm here
is because you want to hang out.
Comedy show. No, I don't want to hang out with you guys. I got a new comedy show on Tidal, which is called the No Small Talk Comedy Series.
Season 2
just dropped April 1st. April Fools. You got fooled into watching my crappy comedy show. So I'm making my rounds, but then they were like, have you ever done It's the Real? And I was like, No. Why haven't I?
Well, to be fair, we did reach out, and you were out of town.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When?
You were on the move at some point. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, wow.
Do you have multiple phones or just one?
Just one.
Okay.
I just got this phone yesterday.
Really?
Congratulations.
iPhone 6.
Is it working out?
It's a little too big.
All right.
I like the 5.
No, but once you go 6, really, it's over then.
That's what I heard.
Well, yeah. They dropped that new one. Yeah.
Well, it's just called SE.
I don't know.
Is it a 5? It's like in a 5 case, but it's capabilities of a 6.
I only know the 6 now. I don't regard anything else.
You don't
even
go backwards, never. Right? Yo, Rastaman, don't move backwards.
Can I tell you that we probably saw one of the greatest sets by you ever. Actually, no. You were more like a hype man that night at Peter Rosenberg's wedding.
Oh, yeah.
And it was amazing.
Really?
You had so much life.
Yeah, it was really fun. Yeah, Tony Touch was DJ.
Tony Touch was DJ.
Yeah, I was just on the
You're
mic.
You're on the mic.
Right? Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, but Tony Touch, yeah, he was like doing what you're supposed to do at a wedding, playing good music
right.
for people eating food and occasionally getting up and dancing. But once it gets to like the last hour, it's time to go. Like
it is.
And I just hit him on the back. Like, come on, let's turn this shit up, bro.
Because you weren't supposed to, right?
What, me personally?
Yeah.
Like, no, I wasn't booked to, no.
You were a guest that evening.
I can't not go to a DJ booth.
Right, it's all about
it
you.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
No, it's just not like that. It's just if I'm in a place, that's the place I feel most comfortable where there's a DJ booth.
That's dope.
Strip clubs, I hang out in DJ booths.
What was the initiation like to get into the Big Dog Pitbulls?
It was just
well,
20 years.
No, but there was no initiation of Big Dog Pitbulls because I actually came up with the name Big Dog Pitbulls.
You did?
Yeah, crazy. I came up with that. I had to get into the Flip Squad. So that was the DJ crew that Flex had before the Pitbulls, which was Flex, Doo-Wop, Bismarcky, DJ Enough, Mad Wayne, DJ Riz. I'm probably missing Big Cap, obviously. Yep. Rest in peace.
Yep.
And I was interning for Flex, doing all the bitch work that, you know, interns do. Well, actually, interns nowadays don't even do enough bitch work. It's Mm-mm. It's sad.
Yeah.
And then I got a shout out on Flex's, I believe, second album, the 60 Minutes of Funk mixtape.
Yep. Yeah.
And he shouts out all the pit bulls, and then the last thing it says is like Cypher, welcome. So, yeah. Yeah, but you know, just working my way, you know, I literally got food, opened up clubs, you know, got there early. DJ.
What kind of food did Flex prefer?
Flex is pretty simple with his food. Chinese food. Pizza. That was back then. You know?
Yeah,
now he's healthier.
For sure.
Yeah, now he's, like, his palate is very refined.
Oh, very. Mr. Childs. Yeah. Son, on the regular. You see his Instagram.
Yeah, it's a lot of like stuff at the Westchester Mall with him, you know? Did you... Wait, so where did you come up with the name Big Dog Pitbulls?
He was the big dog.
Right.
And he had Big Dog already, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Or he used to always say it.
And then you looked
and then
at something and it was...
I don't even remember how it came up. It was just like...
Barbecue
it
pit.
Just sounded like the right amount of syllables. Big Dog Pitbulls. It's like we're aggressive. Well, all the Pitbulls were aggressive on the turntables and on the mic. Like, we were like animals. Like, there was no like... chill pit bull,
right?
You know, at the time when we first came up with it, everybody was like, we want to fucking win. Yeah.
Can you talk about when you guys first played B.I.B.I.?
I don't remember.
Really?
You know a specific story?
No, but I feel like you guys like really broke that up here. Like,
well,
that...
well, Cap was on it. Big Cap was on the record.
Right,
right.
So that helped because Cap, you know. Why did we start playing that? Like, we liked Little John.
Yeah.
And the reason we liked Little John back then is because he's the guy who did the Capleton Tour mix over the Slick Rick beats.
Oh, really?
Remember that record?
No.
If you don't know Capleton Tour, the reggae record? Hold up.
Oh.
Wait
a minute.
And the Slick Rick beats.
Yep, yep, yeah.
Little John made that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, a lot of people don't know that. That's why I'm here to teach you. So Little John made that, and we were like, oh, he's dope. He's like a... He was always like a DJ, you know?
Right.
And
right.
He also was part of what's the other big bass record? The big Jermaine Dupri, So So Def Bass.
Right.
Yep.
The big
the,
one.
Right.
Come on, guys. Ask your doorman. He's a DJ, right?
He is.
He is actually.
I know, he told me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No DJ doesn't tell me they're a DJ.
Really?
A DJ.
At Club Lust and Club Medusa.
Yeah. He was telling
yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
What's the big record?
From the Bass All-Stars?
Everyone knows it that's listening right now, and they're saying it out loud and telling us to say it, but we don't hear them because we're in the past.
Yes.
It's like a huge, whatever.
Shorty
huge,
Swing My Way.
Not that one. The other one.
Okay. Yeah.
What's the big one?
I don't know.
You know it.
I do know it, but I don't want to talk about it.
All right. Well, anyway, Lil Jon produced that, so we were cool. Then he started making these other records, and that record had, like, you know, one Cap was on it, so Cap started playing it.
Right.
But then it was just like, yo, this record's crazy. And then the South is...
Yeah, because I feel like there was, like, that delineation between, like, before that record and after that
record. No, it's not that.
Really?
No, the what was that?
Delineation?
Delineation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you guys are...
It's a word of the day. Yeah, it's cool. Eric has a calendar.
That's my delineation. Word
here. My word of the day is calendar.
The delineation, as far as I could see, what we used to do in the tunnel was... Master P, About It.
Mm.
That's where, like, changed. And Juvenile, Ha.
Yep.
But mm-hmm. that was around B.I.B.I. days.
Mm-hmm.
So those records is where, like, I used to play. Damn, is this all about me? This
yeah.
Me? I don't want it to be all
no,
about
No, it's all
me.
About you, though.
I used to be on a road with Lil' Kim, right?
Yes.
So the thing that was great about Lil' Kim is that she was a sexy female that we would go everywhere. Because it wasn't just about the music. It was about, let's see if Lil Kim comes and do some crazy sex shit, you know? So we were going to a lot of cities down south that maybe, like, New York rappers weren't going to as much. And because people just was like, we want to see that sexy bitch talk about that sex shit. I would meet a lot of South DJs. And a DJ is a DJ, like. Doesn't matter where you're from. You're like in a fraternity, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Now the fraternity is way too fucking big. But
yeah.
We would trade records and stuff. So I would purposely bring extra records down south. And then they would give me like records that were like the hottest club records in New York were like the opening records down south. Like when people were coming in. And then they would start playing all this like No Limit shit and... Cash Money and like even like underground shit I didn't even know the names of.
So you were just like, and, what the fuck is all this?
Yeah, but the crowd would be going crazy, right? So I would trade and take those records, and I was like, I'm gonna try these in the tunnel. Like, if it's getting this, you're seeing the reaction,
right?
It must be something to it, right? It wasn't necessarily my type of music, but I'm like, this club is shaking right now for this, for these songs I brought in. I would play it in the tunnel early, and it'd be like hustlers like that would drive up and down 95 with, you know, the drugs. And they knew it because they'd be down south a lot. So they'd be like, oh, that's the shit. So then that was like the little connection. And Flex would see me playing these records, and he was like, what is this? Why are you playing this? Because there'd be like reaction. And he's like, we call it the shoulder. When he puts his hand on your shoulder, that means don't play this record next week. Matter of fact, give me your two copies, and then you find two more. So, yeah, so that's where, like, the South record starts. Sorry, guys. I helped bring the South up.
No,
here.
Well, no, I think it's amazing.
Tell us about the beginning, like, when you broke Rapper's Delight.
Rapper's Delight. I told Grandmaster Cass.
You got on a Big Dog Pitbull's call with all the DJs, right?
All the call, yeah.
And you said, guys,
I don't think... there's ever been a Pitbull call. I used to watch the heavy hitters have like their weekly conference call, and I look at them like, how do you tell everybody to?
Yo, we asked,
everybody's so organized.
We asked enough. We're like, yo, so Kanye's a heavy hitter. Would he ever jump on the phone calls? He's like, actually, yes. And he would try to just promote his record, and everybody would be like, we're good. What'd you think when Dipset jumped on Bad About It?
It was okay. They didn't do it justice.
Of course, but it's
not
like
Cameron did the Tupac record, The Ambitions of a Rider.
Right.
He did that one way better.
Yes.
About It was okay.
But this was like, it was just like a merging of like your two worlds.
Yeah.
What a disappointment.
It all came together. No, that's funny you say that, because when I was on the road with Kim, I've told this story before, but not to your beautiful listener. Mace used to come on a road with us sometime. This was before Mace's album came out, so he had, like, the song with Diddy, mm-hmm. Hold You Down.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He had More Money, More Problems, because Biggie's album was out, and he had, I don't even think Feel So Good was out yet. He had a couple other, like, the 112.
Yep.
He was on the 112 record. So he would come on the road with us and just come out and do, like, guest spots with us. And he would bring, like, his crew was Cameron, Blinky Blink, and sometimes Jim Jones.
Yeah.
So it was like I met like them so early, like. Like, that's why me and Cam are so cool, because we remember, like, we were both, like, 19, like,
in, like,
on the road, yeah.
Birmingham.
Yeah, or yeah. Dallas or something. Yeah, I remember we went to Dallas.
Beautiful spots.
Yeah. And Mace was, like, destroying it, like, killing it.
Really?
Three songs, four songs, killing it.
So he would just do his feature from, like, Only You and then, like, turn it off?
Yeah.
And then get into something else?
Or, yeah, yeah.
That's all. That's like, I got even, hits.
No, but, yeah, like, yeah, when I first started with Kim, she only had Get Money, Player's Anthem, and then, like...
6 hours of sex talk.
Yeah, a lot of, she just did like a TED talk of sex. No, and she had like R&B. She was on like a, like four different R&B records. And we would make like, you know, a good half hour show out of like not even having all her records out, you know? No Time, I think No Time was
mm-hmm,
out.
Mm-hmm.
And then like eventually like another single would come out. Then the album would come out. And then it was more and more. And then Benjamin's. And but yeah, in the beginning it was just like, you know how dudes nowadays, they'll go do a club, like do like three songs, like that's what it was.
I mean,
like,
we saw Mims do This Is Why I'm Hot 3.5 times,
yeah,
in concert.
Including the remix.
Including
yeah.
the remix.
Yeah, you gotta fill the time.
It was a perfect show.
We saw Swiss perform at like a 1 year anniversary of some club in like...
Yeah, Hoboken.
Hoboken.
And he did Only Hooks.
And it was
amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Swiss knows how to put a show together.
Totally.
And he's a DJ. So he basically like...
He's your brother.
Your brother. Yeah. He
brother knows how Swiss. To... Wait, so when you were working with Kim, were you brought into that Foxy beef?
I was around it. You got to understand, I was a Fat Beats employee during the week and Little Kim's DJ on the weekend. So like, I'm like underground, raucous... Army jacket, backpack, in the limo, just angry all the time. Like,
you were meant
were like,
to be feared.
They were just like, to me, they were like, you know, commercial, like fucking commercial. When I used to come back to Fat Beats, they're like, did you bring us some champagne? And I was on the road, like, and I would just sit there. They'd be smoking and drinking. I don't smoke or drink. And I would go to my room and I would bring my MPC with me and I would just make beats in my room and they'd be like, they got like mad girls in all the rooms and I'm just like, so yeah, so it was weird, but I was just around a lot. Like I heard so many, I heard Biggie's whole album in pieces, unfinished before it came out, the Life After Death. Like, and I heard My Downfall before DMC was on it.
Man.
I heard mad shit. I heard Benjamin's, the original Benjamin's, Styles P was on it.
Whoa.
In the beginning, and Puff took his spot.
I don't
know. That's why Styles is not on it.
Not on
he was
it, right.
First. Yeah, I heard like all these records. Victory, I heard before it came out. They were like, yeah, this is for Puff's album. But Biggie's like the producer of it. And I was like, what? What's happening? How do you do that? They're like, nah, he's the executive producer. Da, da, da. So yeah, before Busta was on Victory, I heard that.
Man.
All like the What's Beef, like different versions of it. It was crazy.
That's dope.
Yeah, it was dope. I didn't know how dope it was. Like I was just like,
oh, you didn't give a shit. You were just like,
no, I was just like,
you just wanted to listen to rock.
They just like, they just like talk so much shit. But they would talk about Inga, who's Foxy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
yeah.
But she was like down with them, or like, she was cool with the Junior Mafia guys. But Kim would be like jealous, like on some girl shit. You know how girls fucking
yeah,
fight,
right.
And so like they'd be like, tell that bitch Inga don't come around here, da, da, da. And like, we fuck with Inga, da, da, da. Like what this, I hate this shit, man.
When did you first meet the Locks?
Same thing with Kim. We were in, I know exactly where. Me and Jadakiss always talk about this. We were in remember Greek Fest?
Yep.
So we were in Greek Fest in, I think, Asbury Park, New Jersey.
Oh, beautiful.
And I met the Locks, and they, the promoter, we were at the hotel. The promoters came, picked up the Locks first. They went and performed, and then they came back, and then we were supposed to get in the van and go perform. And the Locks were like, yo, show's done. The people rushed the fence. They like crashed the whole shit. Like the cops came, it was like a riot.
Oh.
And we never got to go. Like, we were just chilling with the Locks.
How does Kim even like meet you? Because if you're working at Fat Beats.
Yeah. Oh, well, I was managed by Jessica.
Oh,
Stress Entertainment.
Gotcha. Right.
Yeah, she was cool with Un and those guys, and Little Kim was through Undias.
Yep.
So it was just like management connection.
Gotcha.
It was just like, do you want to DJ for Kim?
And you were like, I guess.
Well, first I was DJing for Sadat X, which I was like, fuck yeah. Yes, yes. But that only lasted one show.
But for like one show? Weekend.
Yeah, because then it was like his budget couldn't afford a DJ. And he sent me home and he just did, like, we were on a tour, the greatest tour ever. Alcoholics, Exhibit, Black Moon, Smith & Wesson,
Bars,
Helter Skelter.
How many women were in the audience?
Nah, it was a lot. Because look, we were in the West Coast, right? Sadat X, Boot Camp, Alcoholics is one other group, I don't remember. And it was like college-y crowds, underground, and I was like, who's like this? You know, I loved it, but who's gonna come to this? But like, packed shows, yo. Packed, like, you know, same way you go now to like South By or something, like, you know, right. Like, there's an underground market, but.
But who gives a shit?
Yeah, who gives a shit?
Can you talk about? Well, so you're
talk about anything.
Your complex piece about the tunnel was so good.
Yeah, is it like the 75?
Yeah,
tunnel
yeah.
bangers.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. What was the 76?
I don't even remember the 75.
What was it like when you first went in there
in the tunnel?
Yeah.
So Riz used to DJ first. DJ Riz, one of the greatest DJs of all time. I can say greatest.
Is it on your word of the day calendar?
Yeah, greatest. Yeah, so I used to like intern for him, like carry his crates.
Right.
I don't even know what it's because it's not even an intern, it's just carry crates. And he used to be the DJ there, so I used to go with him. And I hated it at first. I hated it. I'm like, because like, I used to like what Riz was playing in the beginning, but then later on in the night, because he also had to close, so we had to stay there all night. 1 o'clock when it's like the prime time and people would be going crazy for like Players Anthem, and I'm like, this is corny, man. This is fur coat rap. This is corny, man. Shiny suits and all that. And then I learned to appreciate it.
Sure.
But it was like, it was whack. It was fucking, I used to hate it because the tunnel was like fucking just the hoodest of hood, yo.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just like, oh, this is so whack. And then now I wish the tunnel was still around because the energy was crazy. But then, so then eventually he stopped DJing because he was getting like his own gigs. Like he was opening up for Flex, but then he started blowing up getting his own gigs. So he's like, I don't want to open up anymore. So they asked me to do it. And I told this when Cap passed away. Cap's job, like they used to let 500 girls in free. At 10, so girls were lined up at like 7:30, 8 o'clock. They were lined up. So they were like, yo, we're going to start opening the doors earlier because we can't have all these girls just in the street. So can you get here at 9:30 and then play till Cap comes, which would be like around like 10:30. And then Cap came 10:30 and then he was like, oh, they got somebody else playing? And then he used to just start coming later and later and later. So he came like 12 o'clock. So I would just play in the beginning.
And when would Flex go on?
Like 1.
Yeah.
Like it was me, then it was Cap from like 11:45 to 12:45. And then I would get back on and play 15 minutes of reggae, which Flex hated reggae, but it was just like a palate cleanser.
Yeah.
And he was almost like, yo, play shitty reggae. and then Flex would get on and it would be madness.
And then did you still have to play at the end?
Yeah.
You took Riz's.
Yeah, you gotta play at the end. Yeah. Once I was on the road, yo, I always say like Little C's taught me a lot about music and how to rock that type of crowd. Because I didn't listen to Clue tapes. I was more like, you know, like listening to Stretch and Bob and underground radio.
Right, right.
But Clue tapes were the soundtracks of people going to the tunnel.
Right.
So C's would play that and be like, yo, this song's hot. This song's hot. And I'm like, I don't really like it. And then I would play it in a club and get crazy reaction. And then it became more about me becoming a DJ that had to please the crowd as opposed to just playing what I like.
Right.
And I was like, I could still play all the underground I want, other places or in my house or whatever. Like,
right.
I was like, this
yeah,
is
no
a
one
job.
Could stop you in your house.
Yeah, in my house, I'm gonna play what I want. Jessica can't say not to play that. And it was like it became a job.
What underground records did you try to sneak into those sets?
I don't remember. Like Alcoholics, Nah, I would play album cuts. Mm-hmm. But that's how I played, like I'd play, like, you know, Eye for an Eye. Mm-hmm. You know, Shook Ones was the big record, and also Survival of the Fittest. But I'd play Eye for an Eye and, like, Temperatures Rising. Like, album, and they would all work. Like, people would know them, like, all the album cuts.
Did that make you feel like it doesn't even matter what you play?
No, because that's how I learned how to... That's why DJing sucks nowadays, because everybody's just trying to get their own shine as opposed to looking at the whole night as an event. And my job was to warm up the crowd, get them drinking, get them starting to dance, get girls dancing with R&B, take it to a point. Why would I play the hottest record at, in the moment at 11 o'clock? It doesn't make sense.
Well, because you're on the DJ turntables.
Yeah, but I don't... Yeah, that's why you go out, parties suck now because... Yo, nowadays, there's a DJ that plays at 10 to 11, and he plays every hot record. Mm-hmm. Then the guy gets on from 11 to 12 and plays the same hot records. Mm-hmm. Then 12 to 1, the same thing. And I'm like, what the fuck
is
happening?
You need to give him the shoulder.
Somebody got to get the shoulder, man. So it does, like, we had the tunnel popping because I would play records, album cuts, shit that people liked. And album cuts, remember, like, Biggie, Give Me the Loot.
Yeah.
That's an album cut. But the Brooklyn dudes were going crazy. You know what I'm saying? Singing word for word. Nas, I would play Illmatic album cuts.
Oh, like, see, I would play I Know I Can.
It wasn't out yet. It wasn't out yet. Salam was in there, though. Salam was in the tunnel.
Who else would come through? Diplomats? Oh,
Cameron, Jim Jones, Smooth the Hustler, and them was always in there. Akinelli was always in there. Nori.
Rough Riders.
Rough Riders, yeah, later on.
Any of the Rockefeller guys sneak in there?
Yeah, they would come. They mostly came on their nights. Yeah, they didn't really hang out a lot.
How do you feel about artists who would perform with backing tracks?
It's fine. It's fine.
You don't hold them to, like, a higher, like, you know.
Nah, like, what's backing tracks?
Well, like, they shouldn't, like, spit over their own lyrics.
The lyrics?
Right.
Or the TV track?
TV track meaning?
TV track is all the vocals are there except for the main vocal. So, like, your background ad-libs are there.
Right. That's okay.
That's what you're supposed to spit on.
Right.
Yeah. It depends. I mean, it's very sloppy. I don't like it, but
And I understand, like, if, like, someone's coming in from out of town and they surprise you and you're like, I only have this. Like,
right. Yeah. And then, like, sometimes the instrumental is not full enough because the background vocals aren't there. Mm-hmm. But, see, that's another thing. Like, that's why when R&B singers sing, all their background vocals are there except for the main part. So sometimes they're letting the hook part or, like, the ad-lib part play, and the vocals are there, and people are like, he's lip-syncing. But it's not. It's just the background track. Well, some are lip-syncing, but it's just the background track.
Right.
So, no, like, when you record vocals, yo, Usher, I'm coming for you, yo. Nah. Good R&B artists. So, like, you go to the studio, there's, like, your main vocal track, but then there's, like, 16 tracks to make it sound full.
Right.
So all that is there. You just take out the main and you sing the main part. And people are like, oh, he's lip syncing. I'm like, oh, it's not. It's TV track. They don't get it. They don't know what it is.
I went to see Lil Yachty at Webster Hall, and he performed over his backing vocals.
The entire
every track. Yeah. And I was like, well, if Lil Yachty... isn't gonna.
And so Lil Yachty's, like, sound is like what?
Like, you know those, like, baby keyboards? Like, blink, blink, blink. That's what it is.
But, like, who did you see there that night in the audience standing right
next
to you?
I saw Emery, and I saw Biggs, and I saw, like, and they were like, oh, you were here to support, like, our brother. And I was like, what? and then Coach K came over.
But, yeah. Like, such an odd.
It was the weirdest.
Yeah.
Oh, Coach Lil Yachty's with Coach K?
Yeah.
Oh,
but, like, Emery and Biggs being at a Lil Yachty show in Webster Hall, in the basement of Webster Hall. I wouldn't expect them to like Lil Yachty.
Yeah, like OGs at, like, this, like, weird, like, high school show.
Yeah. I mean, they have Coach K, though.
Yeah, sure.
He's an OG.
Yeah. He is.
Yeah.
He is. Can you talk about first time you met Rihanna?
Yeah.
All right.
It's a cold and wintry day. Now, this new phone is ringing.
Hey, yo, you're ringing off.
Oh, no. He called me twice. Something must be wrong.
Or something's great.
No. Not when he calls. Yeah, Rihanna, I met in her producer's studio, which was in Bronxville.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Loft.
That's what it's called?
Yeah, yeah.
How do you know?
Because our friend, the guys who brought her in.
Yeah. Well, they're both married to Bayesian women.
Yeah.
Or were at the time. I don't get into that personal life. But, and then I think Rihanna's one of their nieces or like a friend of the family or something. So
right.
They met her when she was like 16. Yeah, and then I met her when she was 17.
But
and
what are you doing up there?
Mr. Morgan, who now runs OVO.
Yes.
Was
and he
friends
was your
with
guy.
Yeah, he's yeah. one of my best friends. Friends with the guy who was managing her, and they wanted me to like go hear it, see if I'd be interested in playing it on the radio and stuff. Mm-hmm. Cardi was like the first feature she ever had, you know what I'm saying? And then I liked the record. And I was the first one to play it on the radio.
Crazy.
Ever. Yeah. So, yeah, she was just like a kid. Like,
yeah.
I don't even believe who she is now. Like, it's insane.
Yeah, was it weird, like, running into her, and then you're just like, oh, shit.
Recently?
Yeah. Because then you ran into her.
Oh, yeah, I saw her at a club. I think it was New Year's.
I think so.
Yeah, it was New Year's.
Yeah.
No, but I've talked to her on the phone, though.
Okay.
Yeah, I talked to her, like, over text and stuff. But she's mad. She's always mad, cool, mad, appreciative. Like, still says thank you to this day. You know what I'm saying?
Does she remember the guys at the Loft?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. Yeah, she's still cool. But I was with her for a long time. And I should have. She, you know, I was supposed to be her DJ. I'm in the video. And I didn't. I was so caught up on the radio that I basically just got Max Glazer the job to DJ for her. But I should have went. I fucked up. I should have went.
Could have been down in like Birmingham and Dallas and like all these.
Yeah, but no, she blew up. Her shit blew up fast, man. World tours fast. International.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should have went. A couple of regrets I have in life.
Okay.
That's what are the other ones?
I can't delineate.
Let's like really go through it on this podcast.
I don't know. I don't think of things. I don't know how to say this. I can't, like, if you ask me who's my top five favorite rappers,
mm-hmm.
for some reason, when I'm put on the spot, I can't think of those things. But if you give me time to, like, think about it and write it out.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so right now, if you ask me other regrets, I won't remember. But if we start talking about it, then it'll.
Then we can come up with your top five regrets. Yeah. Then we can make a complex list.
Yeah, so you make a complex. It's funny. I was DJing in London, and they hired me to play only Tunnel records. Only Tunnel. That's all he wanted. Records out rocked in the Tunnel.
Sounds good right. So far.
And I had to go back into that complex.
You just download the list.
Yeah.
And you just press
no,
play.
But you know, complex is fucking sneaky bastards because they won't put the whole list.
Right.
You got to keep clicking to the next page.
Right.
So that you
give
hit,
them some
yeah,
money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck, I got to write down these records. And I'm like, I should have this list. And I'm like, looking at it at the party, mind you. I'm on Wi-Fi. Like,
wait, really? You.
Yeah, cause like I had like the top ones,
right?
And they were like, no, like go ill, like go deep. And I was like, oh fuck, what's I got number 1 through 20,
right?
No
right.
problem.
Yeah,
but they're like, play 74. And I'm like, what was 74? Like Tony,
yeah,
or like all them type of joints. Master IC.
Can you talk about Breaking Hustlin'?
Have you guys ever heard of DJ Khaled?
Yeah,
some Khaled, say Khaled, yeah. Some say Khalid.
Who says Khalid? Who says that?
What lyric is that? That's some say Khaled.
Why
say Khalid?
Why do people pronounce names wrong?
Great question.
Well, you have to ask like whiter people than us.
But here's what I'm saying. If you see my name written down,
yes.
I understand how you could mess it up.
Louis.
Yeah. L-O-U-I.
Sifa sounds.
Yes. Chipa, Sifa. I get it all. But I'm not on 100 records saying DJ Khaled.
Right.
Yo, you know what's crazy?
He says it the way you're supposed to say it.
Correct.
We go into so many meetings and people still don't know who he is. Like, people are like, oh, like, he's like this guy that, like, it's on Snapchat and, like, they act like he's, like, just part of the air.
Yeah.
But, like, all these executives have no idea, like, about his history.
Especially the new Khaled, the Snapchat Khaled.
No, nobody knows his past, though.
Right. Yeah, they think he just came, just.
Yeah, he's like this funny guy on Snapchat.
Right.
Yeah, it's sad. Anyway, I was in Miami. Khaled is my brother. I used to go down there all the time. All DJs are brothers. You know the secret code word. So I was in Miami with him. Like, I would go to the studio where Khaled was. I'd hang out with him every time I went to Miami. And he was like, yo, we got this new record out here. And he, like, maybe started just playing it. And he played it for me. And it was Rick Ross Hustling. I was like, yo, this shit is crazy. Shit's crazy. And I, like, back then we had way more freedom on the radio. Mm-hmm. We could break records.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys remember.
Wait, what are you saying about the radio now?
Yeah. I don't know how it is now because I haven't listened in a year.
What was it, PPM? Is that the?
PPM, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But we used to break records. So I came up here and I just started playing the shit out of that record. And it was over the, around the Christmas break or mm-hmm. starting to get into the Christmas break. So, like, Flex would take off. People would take off because it was holidays. And I just fucking worked.
Yeah.
So I was just playing it over and over. And then I got friendly with Jay. I mean, I always knew Jay, but Jay-Z. Mm-hmm. But
Jay-Z.
Sean. Yeah.
Yeah, I know me and Sean. Way back. But we, I don't know why. He was asking me to help him with certain records or listen to certain records. And then I told him about Damian Marley. Welcome to Jam Rock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I told him about Rick Ross Hustling and Rihanna, the upon a replay. And he was like, you should come work here.
Yeah. Hey, it's and
time
then
to,
you did.
Yeah, it's yeah. time to come work here because you bringing us good records. Jam Rock almost got signed, but then the Marley lawyers stepped in and they couldn't do it. But obviously the other two did. But yeah, so I was playing. I hit him. It was December 23rd, and I was like, yo, Jay, there's this record out of Miami. It's the craziest record I ever heard. I'm playing it like crazy. You gotta hear it. It's the shit. And he was like, great, hit me back on the 27th. It's Christmas. Yeah. And I was like, all right, cool. I don't celebrate holidays, so I forget how much it means to people.
Sure.
So I was like, yeah, oh yeah, it's Christmas.
Wait, you don't celebrate holidays?
Nah.
Are you Jehovah's Witness?
No, no, okay. No. I didn't witness anything. No, I just don't believe in them.
All right.
What about your birthday?
Yeah, but I believe in things that are real, that mean something to you.
Right, right, right.
So, like, if your birthday, you guys are friends of mine.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I celebrate your birth. I don't know Jesus like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, I celebrate you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing. That's my most unappreciated Puffy saying. I celebrate you.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah.
Is it new?
No, this is old.
Old? I don't remember I celebrate you.
By the way, so, obviously, like, Syph Don't Get Gas, like, that's the biggest, like, thing ever.
Yeah.
But our favorite Sypha Sounds thing on radio, do you remember?
What?
Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
In New York.
Elephant Man.
It's the best.
Wait, must have been the 4th of July. Do you celebrate 4th of July?
Huh? 4th of July, yeah, kind of.
Wow.
Because it's like America's birthday.
Sure.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Way to justify
it. It's something that really happened that you can point back to. There's proof that they declared independence on July 4th, 1776.
Yes.
I don't know. There's too many different stories about Jesus and
Easter.
Well, yeah, good thing that we're talking here. You're talking to two Jews who don't know anything about Jesus. Yeah.
And then there's a lot of rumors of what you guys did. So it's like, it's all nasty. It's nasty. It's nasty.
All these thousands of years of rumors.
Well, like, I celebrate, I like studying, like, history and all that stuff. So I understand the meanings and the point, but I'm not Christian.
You
so
celebrate Bastille Day.
I don't, yeah, exactly. I don't like non-Christians celebrating Christmas.
Oh, I agree.
I hate it.
Yeah.
They're like, no, it's an American holiday.
Peter does that.
Peter definitely does that. It pisses me off.
He lives in a divided household, though. But I guess before
he was with his,
he's one of those guys.
He's a turncoat.
He's like, they're like, no, it's like American. I'm like, no, it's not.
No,
it's
no.
Christian.
Do you?
Yeah,
right.
I hate it.
Wait, does he have like he had the tree before Alexa?
Well, I've always, since I've known him, he's been with his girl, who's his wife.
Definitely. Yeah, he had a tree though.
He always had a tree.
Do you have a tree?
No,
never.
When I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah, but like never in your adult life.
Well, yeah, like when I had a girl that celebrated. Yeah. But I don't if you celebrate, cool.
Right.
I don't
right.
stop. I don't knock your
hustle.
You just
hustle. Don't want it in your house.
No. If I was with a Catholic girl that celebrated Christmas, it's fine. That's her beliefs.
Right.
My wife is Christian. I don't I don't like
you like
knock
like,
her down
every time. Every time she tries to bring a tree in the house, you're just
well,
like,
I think if you're a certain religion and you follow the traditions of your religion, great. I just don't like how people follow.
I want this to be like you, like taking your wedding vows. You say it to your wife. You're just pointing at her, just like if you celebrate that, fine.
Yeah, do you?
Who DJ'd at your wedding?
Oh, my wedding was popping.
Well,
yo.
Of course it was. Did they play all the Tunnel Records?
Yeah, I had DJ Messiah, or who's now known as Mike Sessions.
Is that because they mispronounced Messiah?
Nah, he changed his name. Then Trip, who's now Flex's like right hand man. Camillo, DJ Riz.
The hardest working DJ in the business,
yeah,
DJ
real.
Camillo,
DJ Riz, Max Glazer, and Funkmaster Flex.
Did they all have times like they started at?
I had.
Did they all play the same songs?
I had each DJ what specific type of music they were supposed to play. The only one who didn't listen was Flex.
Start out like ding 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 doom 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 doom.
I don't know what that is.
That's the one song that he plays.
You know that, right?
Breakbeat. The doom 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 doom
doom doom doom doom doom doom. I don't know.
This is going to sound like the stupidest thing. Us on the podcast.
Is that a little Yachty?
Yeah, it's a little plinky keyboard.
No,
Peter Piper.
No,
boo.
Gonna have to figure this out.
Yeah.
Flex always plays it. I'm gonna look it up right now.
Yeah, just look up do 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 do. Good luck. I hate searching for records on the internet.
No, I know this.
But like when you only know the instrumentals.
How are you searching for it?
Because a friend of ours in the business, we always remark on how Flex always plays that record.
Yeah, but wait, what
I don't know.
What are you even searching for?
Hmm?
What are you searching for?
Our friend.
Oh, you're just searching for
okay, just give them up. Just name names.
All right.
Here we go.
You can bleep it out.
Names, yo. Yeah, that's...
That's Peter Piper? But the original...
Yeah, the original.
The original is
what? Oh. That's Welcome to the Mardi Gras.
Ah.
Yeah, by Bob James.
Bob James.
Yeah. You're right.
All right. Well, glad we settled that.
Yeah, cool.
Did Flex play that at your wedding?
No, but he should have. I had Trip. On like dinner music, which was like soulful mm-hmm. music,
the Godfather theme.
Then I had it was supposed to be Flex. I didn't want to keep Flex too long. He doesn't really like doing shit like that. I had Flex on like classics, you know, when he cuts up like even right. shit like that,
yeah,
but like
yeah.
fun older dance music, like Before I Let Go,
totally.
Like all classics. And then I had Camillo on. I had Riz on 90s hits, and then Camilla was on, like, the new hits of today.
But who did 15 minutes of shitty reggae?
Max Glazer, of course.
Did anyone, like, use the mic, too?
Yeah, of course.
At that wedding, though, that's going to be awesome.
My wedding? Can I talk about my wedding?
Please.
Yeah.
I don't know if I don't really expose personal shit, guys.
No, but you got her, though.
All right.
You're not on your own podcast.
My wedding was fucking popping. So... I do outside. The ceremony is outside. Outside is close family and friends for the ceremony.
Yes.
Right? Listen, this is my blueprint. I'll allow you to use it if you want, but this is
shout
the best
the
way
wedding
to do
planners.
A wedding.
Yeah.
Even the venue, when we explained how we were going to do it, they were like, that's amazing. That's nice. So close family and friends, mm-hmm. ceremony.
Yep.
Then we go to the venue, which is we're outside the venue for the ceremony, outside. Then go to the venue, top floor, dinner right away. So you go from outside to dinner, no cocktail hour.
Right.
You go right to dinner. So as soon as you get upstairs, dinner's being served to close family and friends. On the level underneath us is where the party's going to be. So there's some people who you want at your wedding, but you don't necessarily want them at the like beautiful sentimental part, you know what I'm saying?
You sound like Lon Trost from the Yankees when he was just like, you know what, people in premium seats deserve to sit next to people in premium seats, like don't have the
yeah,
lower
you don't
class
you don't want to mix them.
Yeah
so then while we're having dinner upstairs, and then there was a couple like best man speech, you know,
some sentimental shit,
yeah,
whatever.
All the sentimental bullshit,
yeah.
Right away upstairs, and then people start arriving and they're going downstairs. But there's food downstairs too. There's food station, right?
Dope.
And then So once we come downstairs, there's already people down there kind of partying. Then we bring the whole rest of the party, which is the whole family and friends. And there's no assigned tables. There's no, like, well, there was upstairs for dinner, but it was smaller.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And downstairs, there's, like, you know, there's tables if you want to sit and eat, but really it's like couches, seats, dancing. And there's not like dance for a little while, then sit down, then get up again and dance. Like, I hate that shit where you're like told what to do at a
right,
party.
Right. Have you ever been to a club?
Then I had.
Put your hands
me
up.
Me personally, yeah. I'm not really a good dancer. So when I'm at a wedding,
prove it.
It's either either you're dancing or you're sitting at your table. So I had casino set up, and it was like craps and roulette tables. And
are you nice with the dice?
I'm nice with the dice. So then, like, people were just having the best fucking time all night long.
That's dope.
Yeah.
How late did it go?
I don't remember. Probably like two. Oh. And then at the end, I had a Philly cheesesteak truck outside.
Damn.
So giving out free Philly cheesesteaks. Enough and his girl sat there and ate like five of them, yo. Yo, you could get, I think, one or two for free. After that, you had to pay. He was like, yeah, whatever. And the truck played all 90s hip hop.
That's
it's
awesome.
Actually Rosenberg's friend. I forgot his Phil. I hope it's Phil.
It might be Phil.
It might be Phil.
I forgot his name. But yeah, I think it's Phil.
Wait, are you just saying that because it's Phil Lee's cheese?
No, I think that's why he calls it that. But yeah, and he was outside 90s hip hop, Black Moon, Smith & Wesson, J. Rude the Damager, as you go get your final cheesesteak.
That's awesome.
Yeah. If you want me to plan your wedding, I'm available.
Yeah.
Does Roc Nation get a cut of that?
Yeah, they get a cut of everything. They get a cut of this.
Can you talk about... didn't you also A&R for Pharrell?
Yeah.
How was
Star
that?
Trek. It was cool. Nothing. It was hard because actually I was just talking to Famlay. I saw Famlay in South By.
Did you hit them on their?
I hit him on his beeper. Phone? Just one guy.
Yeah.
Do you think Famlay's a they?
Well, I always like because it's like family, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, but it is hit me on my beeper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's singular.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just one guy. There was a group called the Famlay. On JMJ Records.
There was also Charles Manson's followers were called the Famlay.
Right. Yeah. And also, I think, Insane Clown Posse?
Yeah, so all their fans.
Also Puff Daddy and the Famlay.
Yeah.
Oh, it would have been dope if it was Puff Daddy and the Famlay.
Wow.
Puff Daddy and the...
That sounds like a mashup album from 2006.
What if it was Puff Daddy and the Juggalos?
That would be nuts.
Wait, now I feel like I'm at one of your improv shows.
Yeah. It was dope though. Like, I mean, obviously Pharrell is fucking amazing, one of my favorites ever. But so I worked on Khalees album, Clips album, Famlay. I was mostly Famlay's A&R, mm-hmm. but then I also worked on other stuff. There was another girl, Vanessa.
Oh.
Some Spanish name, I forgot name. She was a singer there.
Did you do the Attack of the Clones?
I was around, but mm-hmm. I didn't really work on it. But I was around, yeah. But so the thing with Pharrell was so annoying. two things that were mad annoying about Pharrell. One, I'd drive to Virginia, just go to their studio because mm-hmm. it was easier. And Pharrell would make a beat. I'd be sitting on the couch. I'm like, this beat is fire. Yo. This is one of the illest beats I hate it. And just turn his machine off. I'm like, no. Why do you do that? I was like, that beat was whack. I'm like, Pharrell, that beat was crazy. And then he'll turn his machine back on. He'll start working again, banging out some beats. I'm like, this one's even better. Holy shit. I hate it. Just turns it off. Just not save, not delete. So he did it one more time, and I fucking threw my hand in front of the machine. I was like, Pharrell, just let it sit for a minute. Or just record it. Just save it. He's like, all right, let's go eat. And we go to Outback. We went to Outback Steakhouse. And we came back, and he plays it. And he's like, what's this beat? He's like, this shit is hot. That's the one you made. He's like, this ain't the one I made. I'm like, Pharrell, it's your machine. You think somebody came and snuck a beat? And then I forgot what song it became. I think it was on the Clips album. The Hell Have No Fury.
Yeah.
Hell Have No Fury.
Yeah. That's the one. Time. That's what, it might have been Chinese New Year, one of those.
Man.
Yeah, but that was great. But then also another thing I hated about Pharrell is that he would make a song for one of his artists. I mean, I'm the A&R of Star Trek, so I only care about Star Trek artists and making them successful, right?
Right, yes.
And he'd make a song, give it to Famlay or the Clips. Well, the Clips figured out how to not let this happen. So he'd give it to Famlay, and Famlay would do a song, and it would be crazy. And then an artist would come looking for beats, and he would give them the beat. and we're like, you know the Clones album, the Nori song on the Clones album?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like real fast. Yeah. That was a Famlay record.
Damn.
And he'd be like, I'll give Famlay something else. And I'm like, you got to stop doing this. So then that's when I started like, yo, can we get other producers? Like, does it have to be all Neptunes? And I remember I got two beats from Little John before. I think what really set Little John off was the Youngblood's Damn record.
Yeah. Right. 2003 or something.
It was that same sound that had, that same sound, but before the Damn record came out.
Yeah.
And so we, you know, he was in that zone. And then, so I had two Little John records that were fire. And they'll never come out. I got them in my laptop. And and two records from Nelly's producer, the kid J.E.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No one ever got beats from that guy.
Never.
I don't know why. He had dope beats. And I was like, you know, we don't want Nelly beats. Right. We want, like, you know, I'm sure you do other types of shit. He's like, Thank you. Like, yes. And he had dope beats.
Damn.
And never came out. He had a dope house in St. Louis. It was fucking...
No.
Yeah, but I mean, it's in St. Louis, though.
I know.
Did you ever meet Slowdown?
No.
Who
Slowdown?
He's the one with the mask.
Yeah, the lunatic. No. That's St. Lunatics? Like,
I mean, I'm... Yeah.
Yeah, big fan. You love his entire catalog. No,
I met all the St. Lunatics, but I didn't know who they were. I mean, I met him with Nelly. Oh, there's a new comedy show on Tidal.
Yes.
It's called the No Small Talk Comedy Series.
Season 2?
Season 2 is out right now. You should go watch it.
Do you have to watch season 1 first so you can understand season 2?
Yeah, listen. It's all connected. It's the comedy Game of Thrones. If you watch dope comedy recorded at the Comedy Cellar, which is one of the illest comedy clubs in the world, mm-hmm. dope comedians, go watch it on Tidal. Oh, yeah. You got to go get Tidal. And then you go watch it.
But that's cool because then you can listen to the Kanye album as it was originally intended on Tidal.
It's out now.
On other things, right? But for all intents and purposes,
wait, why are you promoting other services?
No, I'm not. I heard he changed some of it. Like, a couple lines.
Did you listen to any updated stuff?
Yeah.
How is it?
It's good.
Wait, how much has it changed?
So much.
No, that's not changed. I heard he took the Puerto Rican Parade line out.
Yeah, which is a bummer because that's the best line.
It's a great line.
Why did he take it out?
Do you think he hates...
Puerto Rican?
Parades?
Maybe.
Do you think he hates parades?
No, the best line on there was the one that he talked about driving 90 miles to whoop like someone's Temecula, ass. Like.
Yeah. Did he take that out too?
No, that's still on there.
Yeah. But I'm just saying the best line out of all that.
Yeah.
That song's pretty dope, even though it's not finished.
Right. Yeah. I love 2, 3, 4. You know,
you're just going through the track list?
Naming the Kendrick songs?
Yeah. Untitled. March 3rd,
by the way,
1984.
Be honest, because we all know that Rosenberg was like way, way, way into Kendrick. Like the moment he touched down.
Yeah.
Did you always get it and like it and appreciate it?
No.
Yeah, same.
No, I don't. I remember, it's funny, there was a point in time where I was like, I always try to get into new music, but I'm very particular in things I like. Oh, so I'm late on a lot of things. I was at some show, and I asked this kid. You ever heard of that kid Ferris Bueller?
Yeah.
You know him?
Yeah, of course.
Kind of down with playing Patton.
And he's friends with Pharrell and all.
And I was asking him, like, what's some new shit? He was like, yo, there's this kid from the West Coast. I love West Coast. Mm-hmm. He was like, Kendrick Lamar. And I was like, that's his name? What the fuck is his? I hate rappers.
You know what's crazy? You don't even criticize Ferris Bueller.
Yeah, no, I've abused Ferris Bueller. Yeah. Me and him, he used to work at the radio station, like, I think he was an intern or something.
Oh, really?
Really?
And we used to have battles about who knew more about Ferris Bueller. And he's like, dog, my name is Ferris Bueller. It doesn't matter. I know more about Ferris Bueller. It's my favorite movie. And I went and downloaded or listened to the what was the
Section
big one?
80?
Yeah, Section 80. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really love it. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm not into like super wordy rap.
Says the guy who loves Sadat X and worked at Sadat Beats.
Yeah, like super wordy. But I appreciate it. It's just not my thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then Kendrick's album came out and I like it, but I didn't love it like the way like
right.
Like you're supposed
some
to.
Some people did, yeah.
I like the early Kendrick. I have not loved either of his albums since.
I like Butterfly better than Good Kid, M.A.A.d City. Which
Butterfly,
people look at me like I'm crazy.
How to Mariah Carey.
Yeah, I like Mariah Carey's Butterfly better than anything Kendrick ever put out.
Hey guys, we just want to take a quick second to shout out our friends at CISO. Only CISO lets comedy aficionados stream hand-picked, ad-free, on-demand comedy from the comfort of your favorite device and location. CISO's got all of NBC's late-night shows the next day, fresh new stand-up every day of the year, and original series, all for just $3.99 a month.
Jeff, if they don't have Wyatt Cenac, then I'm not signing up.
Well, guess what they do?
If they don't have Wyatt Cenac and Upright Citizens Brigade, and then I'm not going to sign up at all.
They do.
If they don't have Wyatt Cenac, the Upright Citizens Brigade, and Dan Harmon's Harmon Quest, then count me out.
Well, guess what? It's coming soon. Just imagine there's a place where all of your favorite comedy lives, and there is. It is called CISO. It's a new comedy streaming service with all the quotable classics you grew up on, like Monty Python, The Kids in the Hall, and SNL, as well as 30 Rock, Parks and Rec, and The Office.
Well, what's the best part?
CISO is always ad-free and only $3.99. No joke. Why aren't you laughing now? Go to CISO.com and start streaming for free. And now let's get back into this episode with Cypher Sounds and your boys from It's the Real.
So here's something that we had an opportunity to go see, and we totally like screwed this up, is that years ago, Lin-Manuel's first show on Broadway was called
In the Heights.
In the Heights.
Yeah.
So our aunt took us in previews before it even opened. We saw it and we were like,
you guys
this
are so cultured.
We're like, this shit is whack. We're just like, this is the worst. This guy's never gonna have anything good happen to him in his life.
Because the musical, it's like they'll say something in English, and they'll say it in Spanish, and they'll say it in English again.
Yeah.
So it's like, paciencia y fe, grandma, patience and faith.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yo, like I do not need to be talked to like a seventh grader. Right.
And so like we left there and we're like,
did it have the nine train joke in it?
I don't know. Like, it's
that was
just,
like my favorite part.
Oh,
really?
I thought you might have heard like a version before it came out.
Before he changed it.
There's in the show, In the Heights, it's like, you could take, they're singing, but it's like you could basically take the one of the nine.
Yeah.
And then someone's like, there's no more nine. Like, I'm like, that's some New York shit. Right there.
So we saw it, we left there, and we're like, this guy's done. It's a wrap for him, right?
Yeah. Horrible.
Yes.
He goes on to win, like, you know, best musical of that year.
Yeah. Right.
And then,
probably like 4 years later.
Yeah. Hamilton
is
in previews in New York Times Magazine, writing up a huge piece on it.
Yeah, and so I read a New Yorker piece, and I was at our grandma's 102nd birthday, and this guy's like, oh, like you work in hip hop or whatever. He's like, do you know about this this musical that's coming out? It's about Alexander Hamilton, and apparently Alexander Hamilton was like Tupac, and I'm like, well, fuck that. I'm like, there's no way.
You're like, this guy.
Yeah. I'm like, this is like the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
And then we got offered tickets by two different groups to go.
In previews?
Yeah.
And we said,
it was at the Public, right?
Yeah, yeah. And we were like, never, not doing that. Like, we're taking a stand.
Total
like,
waste of time.
Meanwhile,
what's wrong with you guys?
Yeah. Crazy. And then,
well, we hold grudges, apparently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just nuts. We made the biggest mistake ever.
Lin-Manuel, you're going to waste an hour and a half of my time?
Right. Now he's at the White House regularly. It's just like, we were very wrong about that.
He just hangs out at the White House.
Maybe we don't like Puerto Ricans.
I have a podcast called the Juan Epstein Podcast.
Heard of it.
Tell me more about
it. You should check it out. It's the first hip-hop podcast.
It is. And by the way, you guys, I don't, Peter may do this, but you certainly don't. I think you guys deserve so much credit and should really talk about the fact that you guys were the first hip hop podcast and longest running and all that.
I like that you're like, whatever. I just,
who's gonna give us credit?
The board?
Yeah.
Who's gonna give us credit?
Apple?
Who does it? I mean, yeah, whatever. You know, I like living in this fucking weird. I like how, like, our podcast is like this weird, like, you know, when you listen to Quentin Tarantino talk about the movies that he liked, those weird 70s movies that, from Australia, that then he then bases his movies on.
That's you guys.
That's Juan Epstein podcast. And somebody's going to be like, I used to listen to this Juan Epstein. No, but we had Lin-Manuel on, and I knew Lin-Manuel before In the Heights because he was in a like an improv freestyle rap group called Freestyle Love Supreme.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I seen shows where like it was like improv, and I'm all into comedy, obviously.
Right.
And so he came. I used to speak to him a lot, and not much anymore. But he invited me to In the Heights. That's how I saw it. And then he came on One App, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm working on this next thing. It's about Alexander Hamilton." And I'm like, "What the fuck are you doing that for? Who wants to see that? Stick to some Latin shit. It's working for you." Bro.
Sure, yeah.
And he's like,
"More Nine Train jokes."
He's like, "What do you think if it's like if I did like a because you know he died in a duel? Like, what if we did like Biggie 10 Duel Commandments?" And me and Rosenberg were like, "Okay, sure."
Meanwhile,
3 years later,
A&R site.
I remember like when it was in previews in the public, and they're like Hamilton. I was like, Hamilton? Why do I know that? We make a play about Alexander Hamilton.
By the way, one of the first times that we met you was at your comedy show at Comics.
Yeah, 14th and 9th.
Yep.
R.I.P. Comics.
Yeah, weirdly. Okay, so we saw you, Patrice, play that night.
Yeah.
Hannibal Buress.
Oh, yeah, I know that night. Yeah.
Weirdly, I don't know if it was your call or somebody else's, but they sat all the Jews together. So it was me, Eric.
Drake.
Joey Manda.
Oh, yeah.
And Alchemist.
Joey Manda's Jewish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Holy shit, I thought he was Italian.
He's part. No. Are you going to treat him differently now?
Yeah, I should call him. Yeah, that was a crazy night.
Yeah,
I forgot that was the Drake night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When Patrice was there. Like,
yeah,
and,
totally.
And my friend, the African kid from Toronto, Trix.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
And this guy, Mike Vecchione. Did you see him?
I think so. Yeah.
Because there was like a lot of shit going on backstage. That's how I remember who was there that night.
What do you mean?
Patrice was like just back there just killing everybody.
Yo,
killing everybody.
Hannibal did not do well that night. But we thought he did like amazing. Like we went up to him.
Yeah, it was super early Hannibal.
We came up to him and he was like, "Oh, it's the real." We're like, "Whoa." We were like, "Yo, you're awesome."
He asked me to do that show just to try out that Jeezy joke.
Oh my God.
He's like, "Yo, can I do your show?" And I was like, yeah. He's like, "I didn't know how to really produce a show back then. I didn't really know what a guest spot was. I was still like really new."
Yeah.
And he's like, "Can I do a guest spot?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure. What's a guest spot?" He's like, "I just want to do 5 minutes. I want to try out this Jeezy joke." And I was like, "You're only going to do that joke?" He's like, "No, I'm going to fucking do other jokes." And then it didn't hit.
No.
And that's one of my favorite Hannibal jokes.
Right. My room's got room.
Yeah.
And then I asked Jeezy about it, and I'm trying. Jeezy didn't get the joke.
Right.
Jeezy was like, "Jeezy, oh, like he needs to get a bigger house." And I was like, "Oh well."
Rappers don't like being made fun of.
I mean, I think more now, like certainly than like 7-8 years ago. I think they understand like personality sells, and they can like help that, you know, go. Like,
yeah, but back then Jeezy was like,
no, for sure. But like people like 2 Chainz certainly have a good, like, you know, attitude about things.
Right.
And Wayne and
all that. Who's been the best guest at your improv show?
I mean besides us.
You guys killed it. I don't know. See, this is one of those questions I told you. You should have gave me some prep.
Right. give us the top 5.
Bronson was great. Bronson was funny. He jumped on stage with us while we were doing improv. I do a weekly show at the UCB Theater here in New York City, UCB East.
Yeah. We just call it like UC Beast.
No. It's called The Beast.
Mm-hmm.
You know that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And so I do a show every Friday. 3-year anniversary is coming up.
Congratulations,
this Tuesday.
Yes.
Yeah. I got Wyclef Jean.
But also, you have special guests.
I always put special guests.
I never know.
Who's, I just hope. I hope somebody reads the flyer and be like, "Ooh, could I be a special guest?"
We just Bronson had a bunch of good ones. We saw Smoke Dizza was awesome.
Smoke Dizza. Oh, I wasn't. No, I didn't. I wasn't at that one.
You weren't at that one?
No.
How are you not at your?
Rosenberg hosted that, right?
Mm-mm, no, I think you did it.
No, I wasn't there. I never. Oh yeah, the second time.
Yeah.
He did it once when I wasn't there. Rosenberg brought.
I was like, "You were definitely there," and so was Smoke Dizza.
Yeah, Smoke Dizza. Yeah.
We saw Noriega.
Jim Jones. Mm-hmm. Noriega, hilarious stories.
I saw Jada perform. When you did it at
the FIT
right
for the Close Comedy Week
of the Locks. Yep.
Jakes of the Locks, yes.
Yeah. And the Locks who shut down that show.
Shut it down, baby. Asbury Park shut down. 2 Chainz was good. He was a little high, but story was
what,
funny.
What, 2 Chainz?
Our 2 Chainz was high?
It was a little high. Off that lead.
What about, we saw Just Blaze one time.
Just Blaze?
I know, but.
Just Blaze's problem was.
He didn't get it.
He told a story of a dream he had.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And it kind of doesn't work. We need real life story so you can tell the details.
Right.
A dream is kind of like too fuzzy.
Oh. It should have been a story about the dream.
About the dream, yeah.
What happened after the dream?
No, the dream.
Oh, the rapper. Yeah, the dream.
Yeah. No, well, he's a singer.
When we did ours, first of all, our stories were amazing.
Yes.
But as they should have been. The second story, you guys didn't even like acknowledge it. You were just like, fuck it.
Really?
Yeah.
But that's their choice. It's their show.
It's not. We don't reenact your story. We just use it as inspiration.
No, I wanted it to be a documentary.
Yeah, that's different. You got to call Fred Armisen.
Okay, so can you talk about what Hot 97?
Talk about everything.
What Hot 97 meant to you on the whole, your whole career?
No, we just want you to say yes or no.
Yes
and. Yeah. Hot 97 was my everything. I devoted my entire life to it. And some regrets now, some, but not a lot. I mean, it was everything. It made me who I am. It was a great job, great career. Made my career. Like Tracy Clordy made me a personality, which got me into like doing all this other stuff. Yeah, it was cool. It opened up the doors. I mean, Hot 97 was great back then.
Yeah.
Well, when you say like regrets, you mean like while you were there or leaving?
Okay, so I would put Hot 97 before anything. Where I should have been putting myself before anything,
right.
And then also contributing to Hot 97.
Right.
But I treated it like it was my lifeline, where it should have just been like part of my life. But it was like the only part. Like, I'll tell you like this. Remember there was a blackout?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. In New York City? So I went to the station. They asked me like, yo, people can't get in. The tunnels are closed. Can you come fill in? So I was like, yeah. So I went to the station and I had my ex-girlfriend with me and her son, who was like, he was like my son that I kind of raised.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, they're like, oh, we have power at the station. There's a generator. So like the vending machine's on, like the lights are on, everything. So I was like, oh, cool. We'll hang out here for a little while. And the security was like, nah, we can't let her in. And I was like, all right, I'll see you at home. Like, hey. And I sent my girlfriend at the time to a dark home in New Jersey and her fucking little kid son. And I was like, I didn't even flinch. I was like, they're not letting you in. I'll have to catch you later. And she's like, you're not going to come home with me? I'm like, no, I got to go upstairs. And just shit like that, like always like. And I've brought in like clients, sales clients to the station.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to do a deal with me, right? And I'm like, yeah, let's, you know, I'll bring you to the sales department and then we'll work it out. And then the sales department like takes the deal and I get like an appearance fee.
Damn.
But I didn't care because I was like, oh, I brought the station money. They're going to love
me.
Right. And through the different bosses that came around, the third boss didn't even know I did that. So it didn't care, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And like the thing like Rihanna, like I should have went on the road with Rihanna or even Ross, like, and you know what I'm saying? Like all those people that I helped break, I could have went and I would like, people would ask me like, yo, can you come DJ this or do this? I'm like, I can't leave the radio, you know? And I should have like took more of those opportunities.
Yeah.
So whatever.
What was the longest set that you would spend on like an All Mix weekend?
In the beginning, like
72 hours.
No, like 5 hours. Like Flex's show on Friday nights used to be, was it Friday or Saturday? Was 7 to midnight.
Man.
And I would fill in a lot, like 5 hours. And then once Mr. C took over as mix show coordinator, he started like, gotta be fair. I'm like, why? Why you gotta be fair? You don't gotta be fair. But yeah, breaking it up more.
And can you talk about when you guys got the 5 to 7 slot in the morning?
Yeah, so I was doing, so I had a job at Sirius Satellite Radio. So, like, doing morning shows is a big deal. You have
the Cypher Sounds Effect?
Yeah, Cypher Sounds Effect, yeah. So, when you do a morning show, you have to, like, it's the biggest show of the station, or it should be. But if Funkmaster Flex and Angie Martinez are at your station, the biggest show is now the third fucking show. But everywhere else in the world, the morning show is the most important.
Sure.
Right? So.
But there is that tradition of like the Ed and Dre and Star and Buck, yeah. and that's it was still yeah. a big show.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you're in the number one market, number one listen to time slot. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I would disagree.
But, they were like, you know, we think you're funny. We want you to do the, we might think of you one day as doing the morning show, but you got to get more experience. Here's why I'm blessed. Because, hashtag blessed. most people, when you do radio, especially in New York, you have to leave town, go to like North Carolina or Florida, some, get your chops up, and then try to make it back to New York.
Right.
I was lucky enough that I got a job at Sirius, which was in New York. So I could go and cut my teeth at Sirius, but still do all my weekend shows at Hot, do all my fill-ins. And so it was like I was doing a morning show at Shade 45, which was kind of like practice because there wasn't as many rules. And then I got good at it and then came to Hot.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to leave town. Because sometimes you don't make it back.
Right.
How many people are from New York? Or want to come like to New York. It is war. Radio's war. Or was. Not anymore. So I got lucky. And then so then they had Big Boy, who is great guy.
Clang, lang, 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 lang.
But a syndicated show in New York was just
he's a regional
impossible.
Guy.
Yeah, we heard that there's no getting used to waking up in the morning that early.
No getting used to it. It's like, it's torture. It's absolute torture. Yeah, that's how I got fat. I was drinking sodas.
Damn.
Like 5 in the morning just trying to wake up. Like, yeah, it's bad.
Not a good lifestyle.
I don't know what it is. Like, you figure, like, if you do it for so long, your body gets used to it. But there's something about that time of day. Your body just knows.
Like, Angela Yee, like, somehow stays out all night.
Yeah.
And then wakes up.
Does she sleep in the day?
I don't know. Trick. I don't know her life.
Yeah.
So, you and Peter didn't exactly get along in the very beginning, right?
We still don't get along.
And that's why you guys started the podcast to sort of like as an exercise to.
Well, no, not because we didn't get along. We just didn't know how we sounded with each other.
Really?
Like in the microphone. Like we didn't, you know, we were put together.
Yeah.
So I don't know your style. You don't know my. Well, he knew me a little more because he loved the Hot 97 and wanted to be there.
Right.
I didn't know him nerd. At all.
Yeah.
Fucking nerd. So we like, he was like, let's do a podcast. And I was like, what's that? He's like, we're just going to go in this room and talk. And I was like, all right. And listen back and see how if we sound good. And it became Juan Epstein. You
8 years later.
Did you ever, like, Hot 97 executives, when they would, like, hear the stories that you guys were telling on there that were so candid, did they ever have a problem with it?
On Juan Ep?
On Juan Ep.
They didn't. I don't even think they heard it.
Did they ever? So they never even, like, wanted to, like, license it or use it or put Hot 97
kind,
on it.
There was some talk sometimes, especially when they were trying to do more video stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I remember we signed something that was like right when like, you know, YouTube was blowing up and like content became like the big buzzword.
Right.
They were like, you know, all everything you guys come up with, we own, like even video wise. And I was like, I'm not signing that. I'm not. That's crazy. Like, that's not radio. That's not part of my job. And they're like, no, it is part of your job. So I like, I don't think I signed it, or I might have had to, but it was like under like.
Did you put a fake name?
Protest. Yeah. But yeah. So like, I think then they were trying to do something, but they would try to change it. Like, can you guys get more focused? And we're like, no, this is two guys just talking shit. Like, there's no focus.
They wanted to produce it,
like make it more like. Does it have to be so long? Like, yes, it's a podcast. Like, it has to be long.
Can you put commercial breaks in there?
Yeah, give the commercials.
And can you do like you know, stadium?
Yeah. So like, yeah, it never worked.
And, or like, station.
Station breaks.
Yeah, station breaks.
But we held on to it.
Western then, beef commercials.
I mean, it went away kind of a couple times, but it always. And now it's like the best shit ever.
Yeah. And what about? Can you talk about your relationship with Angie?
Angie, my sister.
Yeah. What she meant to you.
A lot. Like, Flex is my mentor. Flex put me in the game. Flex is great at giving advice for if you want to follow the Flex path. I learned that I was not Funkmaster Flex. It took me a long time because I just try to be Funkmaster Flex.
Were you wearing lugs?
I wore lugs. I wore starter gear. But then I became my own person. And Angie was like the one who like took me under her wing and was like, you got to do this. Taught me how to be a personality on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And gave me great advice. And yeah, Angie's like my big sister.
Was there any thought that you would take over her show when she was on maternity leave? And when Sonny took over?
No way. I was nowhere near ready for back then.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, filling in. Yeah, I could fill in. But no, I couldn't do a whole show.
They were like, you're good for one day a week.
Yeah.
When she left for Power?
Yeah, that's when I...
Mm-hmm. Oh, then you did do it. Yeah. So was there any thought put into that, though?
I mean, the last 2 years of the morning show, I wanted to be out. And we always used to talk. We're like, yo, Angie's slot is the dream slot. 3 to 7 is like, you could wake up early, take care of everything you need to take care of, go to work, leave at 7. You could go home. You could go to the movies. You could watch TV. You could go to sleep early if you want.
Have a real life.
Or you could stay out all night and fucking not have to get up until 1 o'clock the next day. Like, anything you wanted to do, you could do.
Amazing.
That slot. Yeah, and then so like she left, and I was like, oh, this is my opportunity. Like, I kind of wanted to leave. There was a lot of bullshit happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, no one ever thought Angie would leave. Like, you right. know, like, Flex and Angie, that's Hot 97. And then she left, and we were like, oh, shit. And I tried to get it. And they were like, later on, they were like, they were never going to give it to you. I was like, well, why didn't they fucking tell me?
And by the way, you were at Carnegie Hall?
No,
or Radio City?
Yeah. When the day she left.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was sad I didn't get to go there the day she left, but
and then,
whatever.
And then you hit her on text or something, or did you guys ever like talk it through, or was the next time you saw her like at
yeah,
at
I'm sure
Power?
I'm sure I hit her. No, I saw her after that. Yeah. We're friends.
Yeah.
I mean, not close friends. But no one in the business is close.
I mean, we're very close with Miss Info.
How close?
True. Like real close.
Like, does she come over here and hang out?
Like we go over to her place and hang out.
Yeah. Oh,
she's a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a couple friends that I'm
we're friends with Peter.
That's true.
Yeah.
Would you say your friends are like Pharrell, Jay-Z, Rick Ross, yeah, family.
Yeah.
Nah, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, if I see Jay around the office, it's always mad cool, but he doesn't invite me over.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, he wouldn't send you a Christmas card because you don't celebrate Christmas.
When how do you get to that next step? Like,
I don't know.
I think you have to like lock yourself in his office.
So wait, you're friendly with him.
Yeah.
Friendly.
Yeah, friendly.
Friendly.
We're friendly with like...
No, but it's more than that though. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Business.
Does he DJ? Because then you guys could be brothers.
Hip-hop is, I think he does DJ. I think like in the business, you just... I don't know. Like you... I heard an interview, Howard Stern or somebody, and they were like, you like people that are in movies together.
Mm-hmm.
Like... The movie is like a war, right?
Right.
And then you leave, and you might not see each other for 10 years. And the moment you see each other,
right, it's like
you go right back to that war, that moment.
That's you and Ange?
Uh-huh. No.
That's you and Jay?
Huh? No, it's just the industry is like a war. So you might not see someone for a while.
Or the industry's a movie.
The industry's
a
movie. Exactly.
No, I did want to talk about True Life.
Yes.
Talk about so
that's my friend.
So Sycamore,
yeah,
brought him in to.
From what I remember, I don't remember Sycamore being in it. I know Green Lantern was a big deal.
Talk about it.
Who brought True Life in?
Yeah,
yeah. I tried to suggest it, but they had already brought him in.
Hmm.
He was already in. Green, from what I remember, Green Lantern was like a big part of it.
By the way, Green is one of the guys that we really, really, really want to get on the podcast. He's living in like Phoenix now.
Yeah, he is Phoenix.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, his son DJs.
No, I didn't know that.
His son DJs and he DJs for McConan.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm the 8-year-old kid that I met at Hot 97 is now like
crazy
21.
Oh.
Yeah, like, no, he's a 10-year-old DJ. Yeah. Like, he's like a he hangs out with his pops, his Green Lantern. It's so
looks
weird.
Crazy. I don't know what it's like now, honestly. Like, I honestly don't listen to a lot of radio, right?
Yeah.
But like in the heyday of Hot 97, like the late 90s, early 2000s, the different personalities
that DJ'd really had different personality. Like, even the way that they mixed, like, yeah. Green right. versus, like, K-Slay versus you.
Absolute.
Yeah, versus, yeah Absolute. Yeah. Camillo.
Yeah, everybody was different.
Clue and Envy. It just, it felt real, like, just...
Can you tell who was DJing when you listened? If they didn't say their name?
Probably.
I think I could
tell I know every person's DJing.
Yeah, no, I can't.
But the only reason I would, like, hesitate is because I think I knew the schedules as well.
Right. Yeah.
So if you were, like, if I was just, like, pop on, I would be like, oh, yeah, I know it's...
But as soon as you hear Jail Bars and you're like, oh, I know who this is. Wait, so is True Life out now?
No, not yet. Soon. Because, really,
like,
soon.
I was looking it up because he was scheduled to be out.
Yeah. Yeah, he was supposed to get an early release. He didn't get it. I'm not supposed to talk about it. He hates when I talk about him. But right. No, so yeah, he came to Rock La. Mm-hmm. Well, it was supposed to be Rockefeller, but then Jay-Z created Rock La Familia. And that's how I got, like, that's the job I got. Like, when I suggested trying to sign Damian Marley, he was like, oh, I'm starting like a world label. That would be perfect for that, which it would have been. And remember that other kid, Aztec?
Totally, yeah, absolutely.
You know he's from like a Houston big actor now.
No, I didn't know
what?
That.
Yeah. I saw him in an episode of Louis. You watch Louis?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm watching Louis one day.
This is your world's fucking colliding. Yeah. That's wild.
I'm watching Louis, and there's a... maybe you remember the episode. Louis went to Miami and got friendly with a Spanish guy that worked in the hotel.
Yeah.
That's Aztec.
What? Took him around?
Took him around like Cuban Miami.
Yeah.
That's Aztec.
Weird.
Yeah. So that's crazy. I'm watching, I'm like, how the fuck do I know this guy? Like, this guy looks so familiar. And I'm like, you know, I'm around actors and UCB, and maybe he's a comic.
Right.
And I'm like, damn. And I watch the end of the episode and look at his name, and I Google him. I'm like, holy shit. It's fucking Aztec, yo.
That's amazing.
Then I saw him. He's like, has a big part in The Strain. I think it's on FX.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah,
I never watched it, but my wife watches it. Yeah. And I was like, fuck, Aztec. Oh, but Louis is on FX too. Yeah, right. So maybe some kind
he's
of connection.
He's known within the building.
Yeah. So he's on The Strain. Then he was in that movie, the boxing movie.
Creed?
No, the other one. I can't remember. Jake, is it Gyllenhaal?
Oh, yeah. The one that Eminem did the soundtrack.
Yeah, Southpaw.
Southpaw.
Okay, so I only saw the previews, but when, like, he's yelling at some guy in, like, a big lobby, like, he's dressed up as, like, a ballroom, that's Aztec.
Yo, Aztec is everywhere.
He's everywhere, yo. He's fucking everywhere.
Who else was Rock La Familia?
So, Aztec and then True Life.
Was Nori on there?
Nori had his reggaeton album.
Yeah.
Rock La Familia.
We had a video back in the day, one of our sketches. We had Nori come over and Capone, right? And
but Nori was going door to door selling reggaeton.
But it was all a big thing so that Capone would be in the background stealing our TV. It was really funny. Nori showed up on time.
Nori showed up like about a half hour early and smoked cigarettes like one after another downstairs.
Yeah, that sounds right.
How good do you feel for Fat Joe, by the way, right now?
I hate Fat Joe, man.
In what way?
He never does any of my shows that I ask him to do. Here's my problem with Fat Joe.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Listen, I'm not on the radio no more. I don't got to be political. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with Jose Joe Cartagena.
Your pronunciation is terrible.
I went to his house once. Like, I remember back in the day,
Grandma.
Fat Joe was one of those guys, arm around me. Like, yo, you know us Boricuas got to stick together.
Mm.
You know they out to get us. They're trying to kill us. So, yo, make sure you tell Flex. Da, 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 right? This is like when I was like a young DJ. I'm like, I got you, Joe, for life.
Yeah.
Right? And then, like, me and Pun were cool. Me and Joe were cool. And then that's how I met Khaled through Joe, obviously. Because fucking.
Yeah, enough said that the whole Terror Squad, Macho and Fat Joe, like, threatened to flip turntables upside down if enough didn't let Khaled get on the set.
Yeah, it sounds right. Yeah. It sounds right. And then years. And then so there's this one time, Joe, remember the episode of Cribs? Mm-hmm. Joe's house where he licked the Air Force One?
Sure.
I went to that house and Khaled was in the pool, which is disgusting. Khaled in your pool just looks disgusting. But Joe's wife, the sweetest woman, and Terror Squad people were there, Macho, all those guys. And I still remember this. I don't know why, because I'm a fat fuck. But Joe was cooking like on a barbecue grill, and had like this sauce on the chicken. It was fucking amazing. And to this day, he still brings it up. Like, if I owe him for those couple of pieces of chicken. But he's like, yo, always like, yo, Sai, we got to stick together. Boricua, the Bronx, da-da-da. And every time he has a new record, I would play it on the radio. Mm. And I'd be like, yo, can you come to this club I'm doing? Can you come to my improv show, comedy show? Nothing. Has never showed up. Has never once came to any. I remember
Nunca.
Nunca. He did, remember he was doing something with MTV and Chris DiStefano, who's a comedian.
Right.
He was the host with him, I think.
Oh.
Chris DiStefano used to have like a sports show.
Yeah.
Something with that. They connected.
Right.
And Joe, he's like, I said, yo, can you come to my comedy show, my improv show? He's like, I can't. I got to go to Chris DiStefano's comedy show. I'm like, what the fuck, man? He's never done shit come to any of my shows, man.
That's horrible.
Pisses me off.
Maybe he'll be the surprise guest.
Maybe.
Yo,
somebody's coming
there's
in.
A surprise guest. Hey. Do you know our brother Dan?
I haven't met Dan before.
Yeah.
Hello, Dan. How are you? So fuck Fat Joe. But I'm happy for Remy.
Yep. How about, are you happy for Cool and Dre?
Cool and Dre. Love those guys. Nah,
basically
I'm happy.
Everybody but Fat Joe.
I heard, even like, fuck Fat Joe, man. Like, we was at J-Lo's birthday party in the Hamptons, right? I was DJing.
What year is this?
Not last summer, the one before.
Mm-hmm.
And
because Bronx stays together.
Always
got to
stay together.
Right?
Always. Yeah. French Montana was there. Yo, BX, listen. Baby. I met Kelly Ripa that night and Leah Remini. Oh,
yo.
I love Leah Remini.
Well,
she's hot. No, she's hot now that she's not
Scientologist. Yeah, let's say.
She wasn't hot back then?
I mean, it's a little.
Yeah, there's like a worm in your brain.
She's always been hot to me since Saved by the Bell.
You'd like to put a worm somewhere else.
So J-Lo's birthday, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And Fat Joe's there. Again, arm around, puts me to the side. Yo, I did this record with J-Lo. Yo, it's crazy. You got to play it. Da-da-da-da. I'm like, fuck you. Fuck your records, man. He's like, but J-Lo. Da-da-da-da. But yeah, the record didn't really do much.
Because you didn't play it.
That's right.
Because it's my fault.
Yeah.
But I heard this one. I put like a bunch of new shit on my phone. Like I was getting ready for South By, so I was just loading my phone with new music because I was like gonna see all these new artists, young artists, and I put that on there and I was like, oh, this is fire,
it
yo.
It is.
This is the type of record. That record is like a hot 97, like. Just the way it sounds feels like spring, summer, New York.
For sure.
And I was like, if I was on the radio, I'd be playing the shit out of this.
Man. All right, two things we definitely have to ask you about. All one, right. Give us a good Puerto Rican Day Parade story.
All right.
And two, have you ever been to Puff's house?
No, never been to any of Puff's house.
None of them?
No.
Damn.
Never. Nope.
Wow.
Fuck Puff, yo.
Nah, never been. To the side.
Never been. And I've been close to a lot of people around him. I never went.
Christian.
Is it because you don't drink Ciroc?
Yeah. Before Ciroc was even around.
Have you been to 50's place up in Connecticut?
No, I was supposed to go. But,
really?
But you got to understand, this goes back to Hot 97. Stuff like that, like Flex was DJing that.
Mm-hmm.
But I would, Flex told me, right? Back in the day, this is a long time ago, he said he was going to do like some road gigs. And I was like, I want to go with you because I was like his opener. He's like, you want to fill in on a radio or you want to go on the road? You got to make a choice. And I chose radio. So I never got to go when he would go DJ like stuff like that because I'd have to fill in.
Right.
So I never, you know, a couple of things, but not like, I remember because it was Mike Tyson's house, right?
Yeah, right.
It used to be Mike Tyson's.
Correct. Yeah.
But Puerto Rican Parade, I mean, it's always fun. I was on a float once with the Beat Nuts and Maxwell. Maxwell's half Puerto Rican.
Oh, okay.
He's like Basquiat. he's half Haitian, half Puerto Rican. Is he? Yeah, I think so.
I have no idea.
About Maxwell or Basquiat?
Both, actually.
Yeah, you're an animal. Yeah, because that's the thing. Like, Basquiat was more Latino than Haitian.
Really?
But because his name is French,
right,
he gets more credit to be Haitian.
That's
but
I thought, yeah.
I think he was raised more by his Spanish side of the family.
Hmm.
But his name is fucking Jean Michel. So they're like, yeah, he's
French. Montana is neither from France nor Montana.
Wow. No, Morocco.
Yeah.
But they speak French there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why.
I've listened to French Montana in both Montana and France.
French Montana. Sorry, these stories are all over the place.
Let's do it.
French Montana, his name is the epitome of the ignorance of like the Bronx. Because you know, like, he came from Morocco.
Right.
And spoke French. So then they yo, Frenchie. Like, that's so disrespectful, yo.
Well, I mean, Chinx Drugs his name.
That's different, too.
Very disrespectful.
Yeah.
Yeah, shit. It's probably like.
Did you know French when he was running around with DVDs?
No. Yeah, I met him a couple times, but then
you didn't buy any DVDs.
I met him because he used to always be around. Like he was he signed at Akon or he was down with Akon?
Right, correct. Yeah. Both.
I was around Akon a lot back then. Mr. Morgan connection.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. And Boo.
Boo was there, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And but I didn't really know him that well.
We went to we were out in L.A. Last year.
Living it up.
Hey.
Yeah.
And yeah.
As one does.
Just like the Ja Rule record.
Yeah.
And we went to Young Sav hit us, right?
Yeah.
Who you'll remember from running the boards.
Yep.
But now he's, you know, Khaled's like sidekick and he's vice president of MMG. Yeah. And so he's like, yo, come through. We're shooting a video for Hold You Down.
How did he
know you were there?
He knew we were in LA from Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah. So he was just like, yo, come through this thing. It's in like, I don't know where it was, in the hills somewhere.
Like
so
Temecula.
We go up there. And by the way, we are the only two idiots who, there's this long driveway that goes up this big hill. And we're the only idiots who park down on the street and walk up while they have like big vans.
But we are just humble hip-hop sketch comedians.
in sweatshirts walking up in California.
Well, because we're indoor
sweating.
Boys. Yeah.
We get up to the top and there's, you know, Hold You Down has a million features on it, right?
Right. So Jeremiah has like a trailer and Chris Brown has a trailer
Future
has one and August Alsina.
Yeah, they all have different trailers. Yeah. So we're there. We can't find Sav. We can't find Khaled. And we're like, we have no idea where to go. Yeah.
We're just like standing outside this giant mansion. And then at a certain point, we just start walking around this giant mansion.
Oh,
well, and then we spotted Boo, who has no idea who we are.
You're like Little Dicky.
No, we're not. Like,
don't do
Dicky.
That.
There you are.
No.
You're walking around random mansions.
Is that what Little Dicky does?
In his video.
What video?
Save that money.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
yeah.
That's...
All right. I'm just saying, you're walking around random mansions like Little Dicky.
So we find Boo, who doesn't like know us from anybody, right? And we're just like, Boo. And he was like, And we're like, yo, where's Sav? And he was like, I have no idea. And eventually, like, we walked around and found him in the back. And then Sav was like, you got to say what's up to Khaled. So we're like, oh, cool. Let's go find Khaled. And we walked past this big room. And in the video, it's the room where Khaled, there's a giant pile of money.
Yeah. That's the one where he's like, yo, you smart, you loyal.
Yeah. Of course.
Go buy your mama house.
Yeah. And so I took a picture of that, but I couldn't tell if it was real money or not.
But also, you were very afraid.
Yeah, I didn't want somebody to walk in and be like, are you taking this possibly real money? Because, like, there's nobody else around.
But, like, how like, 2015 is this of us? Like, we go and, like, we don't have much to say to Khaled other than, like, and this is pre-Snapchat, the whole thing. But, like, we love his whole catalog.
Yeah.
Certainly, we know his whole history. We go back there and we're hanging out with Sav, and then he's, like... Khaled's getting dressed, by the way. Like, so it's like not like
Khaled is always getting dressed.
Yeah, but we're not gonna like hang out and like, you know, talk extensively. And I feel like he probably wouldn't want to anyway. And we're just like, so I don't know. We got an Instagram picture with you, and he was like, no problem. Gave the finger to the camera. That was it. And now we use that like picture like all the time. But
you've seen my documented fight with Khaled.
Well, do they still use that audio on Hot 97 Morning Show?
I haven't listened to Hot since I left.
Wow, not at all. You listen to
and
Sirius,
and I thought
though?
That all Boricuas stay together.
No. Only time I listen.
Caliente.
I'm going to tell you the only time I listen to Hot 97 since I left was when Flex was going to play the new Meek Mill record.
Oh, yeah.
Wild. Yo, and you had your feet in both things right there, like Rock Nation and your Hot 97 friends.
I was like, oh, he's going to play the new Meek. I put it on, and it didn't happen. I was like, see, this is why I don't fucking listen.
Do you listen to the whole show?
A lot of it, yeah.
You're dope.
We should say that people should go to Tidal.
Yes.
And please.
Listen, I have a weird fucking life, man. I was like big in one world,
mm-hmm.
and then going to this comedy world, and I'm literally at the bottom of the ladder.
Still?
Yeah, I mean, I'm low, you know what I'm saying? And I don't care. I don't mind. I'll work hard for anything I want, but it's weird to be like outside the Comedy Cellar and like the people coming in to see the show have no fucking idea who I am. But then some random dudes walking by are like, yo, Cypher Sounds, yo, let me get a picture. So it's like a weird thing. But my goal is to merge my two worlds. So all my fans or friends, I like to say friends, who are my fans?
Right.
Anybody that used to listen to me on the radio or listens to WANEP, if you could help me merge the two worlds and contribute to my comedy career, I would greatly appreciate it. So one thing is follow me at Cypher Sounds. That's easy.
Just like it sounds, by the way. Yeah. Just Cypher Sounds.
Yeah. Well, C-I-P-H-A. That confuses people. So follow me. And then if you could check out any of my comedy shows, especially the one on Tidal, which is called the No Small Talk Comedy Series. Now, my goal, I don't think I'm that. I'm not the greatest comedian. I want to get great, but I'm not. But I have the ability to showcase people who I think are fucking phenomenal, but don't get, I say the F word a lot. Have you noticed that?
Phenomenal?
Yeah. Don't get the opportunities that I think they deserve. The system of comedy is archaic on how people get discovered.
Right.
It's the, like from the 50s, yo. Yeah, it's horrible.
If Jack Benny isn't handpicking you.
If Jack Benny doesn't put you on the Jackie Gleason show, you're not getting out there. But so I was lucky enough to shoot it at the Comedy Cellar, and then I got comedians who don't ever perform at the Comedy Cellar, so they're like, thank you so much.
It's a great look.
Because I think, you know, they deserve the shot. But yeah, I got some great comedians. It's called the No Small Talk Comedy Series. I'm hosting it. Each episode has three comedians. They're all like a half hour each, so you can watch them when you're at work. Don't worry about doing work. Watch your comedy show. Yeah, so I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, of course. No, thank you. Know how committed Cypher is to comedy now? He's so committed, he'll bring his old ex-girlfriend, leave her outside with her son.
Oh, yeah. Try to get, she's moving to Florida. She's moving. And she had her son up here last week because he lives in Florida now with his dad. And she's like, do you have time to come see me and AJ? I was like, yeah. I always say, yeah. I mean, yeah.
No, this is like the Fat Joe treatments.
Listen, if I get a call to hit the cellar, I'm out.
Peace. Yo, thanks, Sife.
Yo, peace.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this week's episode of A Waste of Time with It's the Real. Jeff, if they want to find more of us, where can they go?
You can go online. There is an internet portal at your local library. You can find us on Twitter at It's the Real. Also on Instagram at It's the Real. We are on Snapchat at It's the Real and It's the Real Eric.
Which one am I?
You are Eric, and so you are It's the Real Eric. Okay. Very easy to find.
Let's do it. Please subscribe, rate, comment, go to iTunes, leave a nice comment for us. Say something that people will read and be like, oh, you know what? I should go back and listen to every single episode of A Waste of Time with It's the Real. Go tell a friend. Jeff, do you have a friend that you want to tell?
Yes, I want to tell. So, okay, I wear a Bears jacket.
Yes.
And for some reason, a lot of people have problems with the Bears, and I personally don't give a shit about football, so maybe it's my fault. But anyway, we were at the Skizzy Mars show. This guy starts yelling at me about the Bears every few minutes, telling me, Bears suck! And he was a Broncos fan, and I somehow turned him into an It's the Real fan.
You should wear an It's the Real jacket, is the point. Yeah. I want to tell...
Well, his name is Grant.
I want to tell our friends, the Bald God, Alex Chichimaro, Justin Fleischer, The Fleisch, and Leah Palmieri, who...
Doesn't have a nickname.
Doesn't have a nickname, but we'll think of one. I want to shout them all out and tell them, go... Each tell a friend, and that friend can't be Matt Fastow because we tell him every week. Go tell some other friends. We'll see you at breakfast. We'll see everyone next week. Jeff, any last words?
Yeah, shouts to Matt Fastow for always getting a shout-out on this podcast. Unbroken streak. Let's go.